They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Sparks fly again in the mining industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There is talk this morning of another big and controversial mining merger. Xstrata, listed in the UK, says it wants to join with the South African giant Anglo American, and Anglo doesn't seem keen on the idea. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The merger would create a company worth around $68 billion. Analysts say the deal could save hundreds of millions a year in lower costs and taxes. But Anglo American has resisted Xstrata's advances before and is thought likely to do so again. The South African company believes it's in better financial shape than its suitor, and it fears it might become the junior partner in any alliance. Chris Hughes is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says this deal's also likely to face stiff political opposition.
Anglo-American is clearly the corporate crown jewel in South Africa. And, you know, this deal would be very difficult for South Africa to just wave through.
The steel industry is also likely to feel uneasy about the proposed deal. It would create the world's second biggest producer of coal used in steel making. That would give the coal producers more bargaining power. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So yesterday I'm taking my family to the beach and I'm sitting there idling on Pacific Coast Highway with one eye on the gas gauge and the other on the signs. $3.29 a gallon, $3.32 a gallon. Gas prices have risen almost every day for 2 months. There hasn't been a streak like this since the 70s. But this morning, crude oil is in retreat. It's around $68 a barrel, down from 73. Analysts say the gas run-up just might end this week. Asian stock markets were mostly up today. The Chinese premier said that economy is improving. European stocks, though, are down more than a percent. Wall Street took some profits last week after a three-month rebound. On Friday, the Dow lost 16 points and closed at 8,539. Tonight, America will experience one of those creepy combinations only reality TV can give us: personal anguish and lucrative ratings. You probably heard of the TLC show John and Kate Plus 8. It follows a Pennsylvania couple and their eight little children. Its season premiere last month set ratings records thanks to tabloid drama surrounding the couple. But as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, not all publicity is good publicity.
The tabloids have been focusing on infidelity by both John and Kate. The rumors now are that they'll be announcing a divorce on the show tonight. TLC is even promoting it.
Recently, we've made some life-changing decisions. Decisions that will affect every member of our family.
And decisions that have sent the show's audience spiraling downward from almost 10 million for the premiere to just 3 million last week. Robert Thompson is a professor of television and pop culture at Syracuse University. He says the problem was trying to turn a cute show into a train wreck show.
And the train wreck elements of the new John and Kate may not be enough to actually make it the hit it was when it was a not train wreck kind of show.
He says that's because families who tuned in for cute are turned off by the drama, and the drama seekers don't want to watch a family show. Needless to say, Thompson says, it's likely they'll all be watching tonight. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Also watching the show is the Pennsylvania Labor Department. It's investigating whether the John and Kate production is complying with state child labor laws. TLC says it fully complies with state laws and regulations.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com.
You know how bad things have been on Wall Street. Well, they are singing the blues uptown, too. The problems of New York City's financial district are affecting one of America's legendary black communities, a community that only recently got on its feet. Kate Ellis of American Radio Works has that.
So what can I show you today, my dear, as you're rushing about?
Princess Jenkins woos a customer browsing her collection of designer clothes. She's run this shop, the Brownstone, for 11 years. Lately, foot traffic to her store is slower than usual, and it's never been easy convincing people who live in Harlem to shop in Harlem.
Most people who lived in Harlem over the past 30 years are used to leaving their community to go to shop because guess what? There was nothing here. So you're breaking molds when you ask people, hey, stay in a community where you live to shop because they haven't been shopping here.
With the recession mowing down businesses, the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce is running a Shop Local campaign. But it might not be enough. The chamber predicts that by the end of June, one-third of Harlem's small businesses will go under. That could be a crushing blow to a community whose prosperity is already fragile. Over the past decade, the strong economy and Wall Street boom were a big boost for Harlem. Higher tax revenues and new investment flowed into a community that has long battled poverty and blight. Abandoned housing got renovated and new stores opened up. Jenny Schutz is an urban policy expert at New York University.
We particularly worry about these neighborhoods in transition because it takes a long economic expansion for them to get on the upswing, and things just start looking good, and then the recession hits.
Dr. Leon Merrick is familiar with that. He's had a solid dental practice here for nearly 20 years. Nowadays, his patients, when they come, often bring a daily dose of bad news.
They'll come into the office, and they'll look fine until they sit in the chair, and then the gleam in the eye and the twinkle in the voice is no longer there. And then they'll say, I lost my job. And they're just sad. They're sad.
Merrick says it's like a syndrome. And with the economy still struggling, he says, there's no telling how long that syndrome will last. In Harlem, this is Kate Ellis for Marketplace.
For more coverage of how the recession is reshaping the economy, go to our website and click on The Big Shift. You'll find stories there of Indian tribes embracing wind power and discussions of whether rich people hurt the rest of us or help us, that and more at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I wish you a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.